that's really, you may not know the title of it, but you'll know the song once we get into it.
So wonderful to sing praises to the Lord. I hope I'm on. Can you hear me, please? Oh, okay. Good. We are so grateful you are here today. We know that you made a choice to come here and not be somewhere else. So we thank you for your willingness to worship with us and to hear the word with us. As Pastor Jay always tells us, there's only one rule here. You respect God and respect yourselves and respect others. So once we do that, we will have the blessing and the joy of experiencing what God wants for us today. Well, I'm so grateful again. So let's get into the story we have for us, God has for us today, and see how he would want to touch your heart and my heart. Boxing and strongman competitions have a unique aspect to them. In the events, the athletes compete individually for the purpose of what? Demonstrating their superior strength. It's like arm wrestling. You do it to prove that you are the strongest person in the room. If I should give us time to do arm wrestling, we will see the strongest person in this room. Perhaps it may surprise you who will be the strongest in this room. Well, one aspect of God's glory is his almighty power. But how does God display his strength or power? Well, he doesn't do it by rearranging the galaxies before our very eyes, or changing the color of the sun at a whim, or freezing a lightning bolt as a trophy to his strength. He could do that, but often we don't see him doing that. Instead, in his love and compassion for his needy people like you and me, God has chosen, listen carefully now, God has chosen to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I thought of the song we sang where he says, "You are my everything and I will adore you." Well, those are the people God is delighted to show his strength on their behalf, who says, "God is my everything," or whose heart is loyal to him. We see the pattern. That pattern is consistent throughout scripture, from the dividing of the Red Sea, to the marvel of the manna in the wilderness, to the miraculous virgin birth, and ultimately to the power of the resurrection. Our Almighty God has chosen to demonstrate his strength to act graciously and wondrously for his people, to bless, to preserve, and to protect his people. That's how God demonstrates his power. It's for his people, the benefit of his people. His divine power is expended on the needs of his people. And that gives me so much encouragement that God is not going to display his power just in the skies, but he wants to display his power through me, through you, who have hearts that are loyal to him. Oh, that you and I will always trust that his mighty arm is able to guard, to defend and deliver us no matter what difficulties we are facing in life today. So please be assured of this today, that Almighty God delights in showing himself strong in the challenges of your life and my life, whose heart are loyal to him. Has God proven his power on your behalf of late? Yes? Praise God. What was your response? Did you remember to give him glory? Well, this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me today to deliver to you at this urgent hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth in order to do what? In order to change and conform genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the marvelous and the magnificent image of Jesus Christ, who is the blessed one, the beautiful one, the beginning, the beloved Son of God, the builder and the bridegroom of the church. And to call and convict unbelievers among us here today of their sin of unbelief, mercifully and miraculously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the hope of the nations and the Holy One of God. So here's our message in a nutshell. Please, I humbly urge you to pay very, very close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind. Willing to do what? Willing to believe it and build your life on it. So here's our message in a nutshell. Listen, God is looking for believers who are totally committed to relying on Him, not only in facing the big battles in their lives, but also in the small ones. To put it simply, God is looking for those whose heart is loyal to Him in all their challenges in life. No matter what your challenges are, God is looking for you to have a heart that is loyal to Him. And then He will show Himself strong on your behalf. He will display His power in your life and circumstances. Does that describe you today? Well, folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to vividly and visually show us today that those on whose behalf, listen carefully, God so delights to show Himself strong are those who have committed themselves to fully and faithfully depend on Him no matter what their circumstances in life. Will you be one of those people and see Almighty God of the universe display, demonstrate His power through you and in you, with you and for you? I hope you are one of those people today. Well, please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 to 10 for our gospel story today. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our gospel story from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 to 10. The Bible says, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. When are the Ethiopians and the Lubim, an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, He delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. You have acted wickedly in this. Indeed, from now on, you surely have wars. Verse 10. Then Esau was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him for this. And lastly, the Bible says Esau oppressed some of the people at the same time. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word today. How many of you here have heard the saying, the end justifies the means? How many of you have heard that? Don't lie. You've heard it, you've lived it, and I've heard it, and I've lived it. Well, do you know the meaning behind the end justifies the means? Here's the meaning behind it. It says that a good outcome excuses any wrongs committed to attain it. You get a good outcome, and it doesn't matter how you attain it. So the end for you justifies the means. While being a perfect God who is perfect in all his ways, God has never accepted the idea that the ends justify the means. You see, Esau, whose name means healer, the third king of the southern kingdom of Judah. Remember, Israel was one nation under God, but after Solomon died, they divided, they split into two kingdoms. The southern kingdom is Judah. The northern kingdom is called Israel. So here we are talking about the king, the third king of the southern kingdom, Judah, and his first godly ruler. He traveled a long way with God before getting off track. You see, he began well, but he did not finish well. That is a problem in many of our lives. We may begin well, but somehow we get off track and fail to finish well. Well, when the odds seemed impossible in the battle with the Ethiopians or the Cushites, some of you have that in your Bible, Esau recognized his need to totally depend on God. And what happened when he totally depended on God against a mighty army? Well, God gave him what? A sound victory over the army of the Ethiopians and the Libyans. Following that great victory, God's promise of peace based on obedience spurred the king and people to many years of what? Right living before God. They were depending on God every day of their lives. But Esau was to face another test. Years of animosity between Esau and Baasha, who is the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, took an ugly turn. Baasha, whose name means boldness, the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, was building a fort that threatened both what? The peace and economy of Judah. So what did Esau do? Remember when he got into a deep situation, a very difficult situation, he looked up to God. So the question is, what did he do in this second encounter or conflict in his life with the king of Israel, whose name is Baasha? What did he do? Remember, his army, the king of Baasha, King Baasha, has an army that it was nowhere near the king of the Ethiopians and the Libyans. So what did he do? Well, Esau thought he saw a way out. So he bribed the king of Syria called Ben-Hadad, whose name means the son of Thandro, to break his alliance with Bashar. Guess what? His plan worked brilliantly. In other words, the scheme was successful. There you have it. A good outcome for Asa. But you know what? It wasn't God's way. Bribing a foreign king to get himself out of his predicament. It was the easy way out, but it was not the effective way before Almighty God. Oh yes, Asa outsmarted Baasha and protected his territory, but God was not at all pleased with his strategy. And so now we get into the story, and so now the Lord has something to say to the king of Asa. After he did all this, after he chose to ignore God, bribed a foreign king with the treasures of the temple that God, that was solely devoted to the use of God, God has something to say to King Asa of Judah. So please, if you are ready, let's dive into our gospel story and let the Holy Spirit teach us the spiritual lessons he has preserved in his message for us. Well, the first spiritual lesson the Holy Spirit wants to bring to our attention is this. It focuses on the reproof of God through the prophet of God in verse 7. God will use the prophet Hanani to rebuke Asa for his wicked misuse of the temple treasures devoted to God to purchase human power and his faithless dependence on a pagan king instead of on the Lord his God. So here is the Bible's record of the reproof or the reprimand of God through the prophet of God. It says what? At that time. What time? Well, it was at a time that he went and bribed the king of Syria, king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, and he came and basically attacked the northern kingdom, and then the king decided not to build a fort anymore. It was at that time that the prophet was sent by God. At that time, the Bible tells us Hanani the seer came to what? King Asa of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hands. Out of your hand. Well, this is the only place in the Bible where we meet the seer Hanani, whose name means gracious. When I get off track, I want somebody who is gracious to reprove me. Not someone who is grumpy. So this is a man whose name means gracious, and we are going to see how he graciously confronted the number one person in Judah at the time, the king of Judah. At the time, in the olden days, a prophet was called a seer. So here, the Bible uses the old name for a prophet, which is the seer, because they see things from God's point of view, and they bring God's message to people. Well, you see, hiring foreign troops brought Asa into a foreign alliance, which showed lack of trust in the Lord his God. Please listen carefully. The most basic cause for you and for me getting off track with in our walk with God is what? Lack of trust. You can beat around the bush, but that's the basic cause. If I begin to no longer trust in God, I'm getting off track, and I'm going to do things that will be against God's purpose for my life. This is what is happening in the life of King Asa. Lack of trust led him to do what? To choose another path. To walk on another path. Instead of following the path he had started on before. By hiring Ben-Hadad to the north, because Syria is north of Israel, opened a two-front war for Baasha, who is the king of Israel, and forced his withdrawal. You see, Baasha was attacked from the north and from the south. On the east, he has enemies. On the west, he has the sea. He can't flee. The Jews fear the sea a lot. So he was caught in a rock in a hard place. And so he decided no longer to continue building the fort. And that was when Asa went and took everything and rebuilt Judah. Well, the fact that Asa sought help from Syria was evidence of what? National spiritual decline. Remember, with the help of God alone, Asa has soundly defeated the Ethiopians, who had a mighty army with chariots. Those were the tanks of the day. When you have many chariots, more likely you have the upper hand in the battle. Well, but Asa now has confidence problem. His confidence that once was high up in God now has slipped. And now he sought what? Only human solution to his problem. Now I want you to understand something very carefully. It is not a sin to use human means to solve our problems, but it is a sin to trust them more than God. That's where the sin begins. When I begin to trust human means more than God, then I'm on a path of sinning against God. Or to think that the human means are better than God's ways. That becomes a sin. Or to leave God completely out of the problem-solving solution or process, then I am on the path of sinning against God. This was the sin Asa committed. But out of love for him and for his own good, God personally directed a prophet of God, speaking by the Spirit of God, to rebuke him for his lack of faith in him and leaving God completely out of the problem-solving solution process. Now, I want to say something today, because we are in a political system that is so tense and toxic. And we are going to learn something from Hanani the prophet. We will be better off if we have a man or woman of God speaking by the Spirit of God to us on the issues affecting our country today, rather than hearing hundreds of voices who are relying on what? Human wisdom. Because that's not going to take us anywhere. And so we need prophets like Hanani, who speaks what? By the Spirit of God on the issues affecting whether the leadership or the country. Now, an important question arises at this juncture. As I was studying for this, why does God want his believing people to rely on him? What is the big deal about relying on God? Why should God send a prophet to tell the king, the number one person in that land, that he's not relying on him? Why? Well, listen carefully. God wants the believer to rely fully on him because that's God's way. That's the right way for the believer to live. Furthermore, by putting our confidence in God, we give him what? Honor. I rob God of the honor due his name if I choose to rely on myself or on someone else other than God. I rob him of the honor that he deserves. In fact, it's an affront to God to put my trust in someone or something else other than the one true God of the universe. May I say to us today, God is much displeased when we do not rely fully on him, but choose to rely on the arm of flesh, on man, more than God himself. Please listen, God wants the believer to rely on him or have faith in him, not faith in men, not faith in methods, not faith in man's schemes, nor in a church, nor in a system, nor in a party or a political figure. Why? Because the Bible says, without faith in God, it is impossible, absolutely impossible to please him. So you see, when you rely on God, you are giving God what? The opportunity to show himself strong in your life. But if you don't rely on him, then you are left to your own schemes. Actually, Jeremiah the prophet, speaking by the Spirit of God, says it well. He paints the picture in black and white for you and me to understand. In Jeremiah chapter 17, from verse 5, Jeremiah the prophet, speaking by the Spirit of God, says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." But then, see the contrast. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." You see, Asa will have had victory over Baasha, the king of Israel, if only he had fully relied and remained faithful to the Lord his God. But he didn't. He chose an easy way out. Can you remember in your life the time when you relied on the Lord while facing impossible odds? What did he do for you? What about the time when the odds were not that great? Did you rely on him still? Or did you take matters into your own hands? That is the problem in our Christian walk. Sometimes when the odds are so pressed against us, we say, "God, I need you." But when the pressure is off and we are in a circumstance that we thought, "Well, this is not a big deal, I can handle it," then we put God out of the picture. That's what Asa did. And a prophet was sent to him to rebuke him. Well, having carefully explained the reproof of God through the prophet of God in verse 7, the Bible now brings us to the point of examining the prophet's reasoning with King Asa in verse 8. Like I said earlier, we live in a political climate that is so tense and toxic. To make matters worse for us, we can't seem to reason with one another in a civil, courteous, respectful, and dignified manner. Well, we need prophets like Hanani to show us the way. Please notice how the prophet reasons with a wayward king in a respectful and dignified manner. He says to the king in verse 8, when are the Ethiopians and the Lubim, an immense army with very many chariots? The expected answer is what? Yes. Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. You can hear the respect in the voice of Hanani as he reasons with Asa the king. As he reasons with Asa, he gently reminds him that he, Asa, had every evidence that God would deliver him. You see, God had delivered into his hand the mighty army of the Ethiopians and the Libyans. When he relied, trusted, and fully dependent on the Lord his God. You see, Asa of all men had no reason to distrust God. Why? Well, he had found God such a powerful and mighty helper. When the odds were against him, God did not let him down. God gave him victory in a situation where he should never have had victory. But because he relied on the Lord his God, God gave him victory, even though the odds were impossible. Hanani's reasoning with King Asa can be restated in these words. And I want to restate them for you in a way that you can relate to. Here's the reasoning. Oh, King Asa, had not the Lord delivered you from the Ethiopians and the Libyans when you depended on him? The answer, yes. Was not Yahweh, the Lord your God, sufficient to help you against Baasha of Israel? Has not the Lord your God helped you in 6 troubles? And have you any reason to doubt him in the 7th? Has not the Lord your God defended and delivered you when you were outnumbered because of your trust in him? Will he not much more defend and deliver you from the tiny army of the king Baasha of northern Israel? The expected answer to most of this question is what? Yes, yes, yes indeed. There is only one part of the question that demands a no. And that is, have you any reason to doubt in the 7th when he has helped you in 6 troubles? And many of us have had God helped us in many, many troubles. And yet, when the 7th trouble comes, we doubt him. You see, Hanani, the prophet, is reasoning with Asa because he wanted him to see something in his reprimand to take courage from. That is why I say to us that we need prophets like Hanani in our political climate today, who not only reason with others in a civil and courteous and respectful manner, but also do so with a heart that wants people to see something in their reasoning to take courage from. This is what Hanani was doing before the king. Please listen. Hanani was not sent by God to beat down on the king, to bully the king, to bash the king with mean and merciless words. Oh yes, his message is tough, but he delivers it in such a way as to help Asa take courage from what he was saying and begin to amend his ways. This is so much needed today in our climate. Well, having concisely examined the prophet's reasoning with the wayward King Asa in verse 8, the Bible now brings us to the most important part of this message. That is the point of expounding on revealing of a rich promise and retribution of God in verse 9. Verse 9 is one of the sweet and sour verses in the Bible. Sometimes when you read the Bible, there are times you get sweet stuff, but other times you get sour stuff. Well, we have it here in this in this passage. We are going to see the sweet and sour, because it reveals one of the richest promises of God in the Bible, and his retribution of a wayward king. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout what? The earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars." Now, please notice the servant of God, speaking by the Spirit of God, says before the king, that is King Asa, a rich and sweet promise of God in the first part of verse 9. In effect, he's saying to the king, who had gotten off track, God is looking for a man or a woman who will fully and faithfully, truly and totally, sincerely and single-mindedly believe in him with all his or her being. He says, God is present and powerful in the defense of the man or woman whose heart is loyal to him and to him alone. He says, Yahweh is looking forth over all the earth. That includes this place here in Denver. He's looking all over the world. That includes here. Using every opportunity to strongly and supernaturally support, and yes, mightily and miraculously help those who resolutely and reverently devote themselves to him. The question is, will you like to be that man or woman of God in our generation? Because God is still looking. The verse says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro." It's a present activity of God. He's still doing it. Not only in the days of Hanani and Esau. Right today, God's eyes are moving to and fro to see that man, to see that woman whose heart is loyal to him. I want to be that man. As such, I'm asking God to make my heart completely his, to make my heart loyal to him and to him alone, to make my heart wholly devoted to him, to make my heart fully committed to him, and to make my heart fully, totally surrendered to him. You see, I do not have the power in myself to make my heart completely God's. There's no way I can do that. Neither do you. And that is why we need to ask God to do that for us. So for those who are believers in Jesus Christ today, if it is your desire to have your heart, that a heart that is fully committed to Jesus, and see him show himself strong in your life, then please, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's simple. It's this. Please, Jesus, make my heart completely yours. If that's your desire, you can pray it in your heart. Please, Jesus, make my heart completely yours. I know some people will be scared to pray that because they don't want to live the way they are living today. They want to continue on the path they have been living for many years. But please, if God is speaking to your heart, ask him to make your heart completely his. Well, the prophet Hanani delivered a message that was sweet and sour, tender and tough, gracious and grievous. We've seen the sweet, the tender, and the gracious part of his message. Now here comes the sour, the tough, and the grievous part of his message. Without mincing words, the prophet of God, speaking by the Spirit of God, reveals to Asa the retribution of God for failing to trust, to rely, to depend on the Lord his God. He says, "You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. Asa, who had once relied on Yahweh, the Lord his God, has relied instead on the king of Syria. And the Bible says he will now face wars. In other words, instead of having peace in the land, there will be wars in his life. Now someone asks, did Asa deserve such a rebuke and retribution? Did he deserve it? Well, the answer is yes. Asa had indeed well deserved the rebuke and a retribution of God. You see, Asa has so manifestedly had the help of the Lord his God in the war against the Ethiopians, a war that he should never have won. But because he relied on God, he won that war without even a great fight, because the Lord himself fought the battle for him. So, but now he turned around and demonstrated what? Lack of trust in the omnipotence of the Lord his God, causing him to seek help from the enemy of God's people. Let me say this to us today. It is foolish, or a foolish thing, to lean on a broken reed when we have the rock of ages to lean on. Some of you here are leaning on the broken reed of what? Drugs, alcohol. Those things are broken reeds. They can't take you far. Well, let's end this message with this last point. What is the response of Asa? Well, the Bible brings us to the point of elaborating on the response of Asa to the word of God. Please listen. When God's word is declared, it demands a response in one way or the other. You can either believe it or brush it aside. You can either receive it or reject it. You can either heed it or say, "I have nothing to do with it." So what's Asa's response to the word of God, spoken to him by the Spirit of God through the prophet of God? The Bible says, "Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. For he was enraged at him for this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time." Though the reproof came from God by one who was known to be his true messenger, though the reproof was just and the reasoning was gentle and gracious, fair and balanced, and all intended for Asa's good, yet the Bible tells us Asa's response was one of what? Anger, not admission of the failure to trust God. It was one of hardness of heart, not humility of heart. It was one of rage and not repentance. It was one of refusing God's correction in his life, not reversing course. It was one of rebellion, not reverent submission to God. In other words, it was one of stubbornness, not surrender to the will of God for his life. So this is the tragic thing for Asa. God would have used him greater, but he chose not to rely on him. So the question is, what do we take away from this message today? Well, please, if you are already a genuine born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is what God wants you to take away from this message. In complete dependence on the Holy Spirit, first confess to Jesus today your tendency of relying on human help rather than on God. I have that tendency. Remember when something happens to you, the first thing you do would reveal who you are depending on. If something happens in your life and you pick up the phone, oh, here, I need help. Before you ever think of praying, you are relying on human help. Second, choose today to live a life of total reliance on Jesus. Third, call on Jesus today to make your heart completely His. And then let Him show Himself strong in your life and my life. And then commit to admitting your failures to Jesus and accepting His forgiveness rather than being defensive or angry at God or His messenger. And then lastly, come and lay all your burdens, whatever they are, before Jesus. You see, one of the ways you can show and I can show that I am dependent on God, relying on God, is to bring my burdens to Him in prayer. So come one, come all. Now, if you are not a genuine born-again believer in Jesus Christ, may I say to you today that God loves you and wants His very best for you, not only in this life, but also in the life soon to come. Just as He sent Hanani, the seer, to point King Asa in the right way of living, so also He sent Jesus Christ to bring you into a right relationship with Him. And how does a sinner enter into a right relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, you simply admit that you are a sinner. You acknowledge to Jesus today that you cannot save yourself by being good or doing good works. That will never save you. And then you accept today with simple and sincere faith, childlike faith, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried to put away your sins, that He rose again on that third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says what? You will be saved and set apart for His purposes, not only in this life, but also in the life soon to come. So God has